All right, it's Friday on DGS. Dave and Rach are out, so mom and dad are out. Andrew and I are trying not to wreck the place. Obviously, doing a lot of baseball today, so we've been blowing it out. So we decided the Cardinals have been so much fun, and you're playing in the division right now, a bunch of rivals. We thought it'd be fun to do this today. We're doing something similar next Friday with Dave and Rach both here. The second half of us, our show here on DGS, will be from patios in advance of game one between the Cards and the Cubs. Here today, we're just talking baseball, and we just had Brendan Schaefer in for an hour. Bernie Miklas is going to be here now. He's here now, I should say. Not going to be. He's here now. He and I are going to host for the rest of this show. And then we'll have Matt Pauly later, Rush Hour Sports, Sports Open Line, all of that. So lots to do. And Bernie, first of all, welcome. Good to see you, buddy. Great to be able to do this.
Yeah, man. Thanks for inviting me. It's really a pleasure to help out, and good to be with you and Andrew and all the other people that are going to be running through the guest line or whatever. Yeah, it'll be fun.
There's your tease. We got one right now. Our conversation with our friend Ricky Horton is today. And, of course, it's sponsored by Rawlings. Visit the Rawlings experience at Westport. So, Bernie, Ricky, Kevin, hanging out with you talking ball. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing great. It's great to be with you too, Bernie. I haven't seen you in a bit, and always enjoy our conversations, and I appreciate you very much. And it has been a fun thing to be talking about Cardinal baseball. So let's keep doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. How rainy is it there?
it's rainy. It's raining enough that we're not going to play baseball. Let's put it that way. I mean, so it is. It hasn't really been bad here in Cincinnati all day, but it's just a light rain that's not stopping and not going to stop. So, here's what it is, Bernie. It's bad enough to mess up my golf tee time tomorrow with Brad Thompson. So that's the worst part of it, frankly.
So do you guys make up for that tonight by finding a good steak dinner somewhere?
Well, we talked about it. Brad's already finding an indoor golf place that he wants to go. I mean, he's got the bug. And frankly, you know, when I don't get to play with Brad, it's really tough on me because I normally, you know, that's part of my budget is to know that I'm going to win some money when I play with Brad. And, just keep that between us. Don't tell him I said that.
All right. Nobody else heard it. It's a total secret.
It's going to be an interesting weekend because we all know Great American Ballpark, Ricky, is you know, tough place for pitchers. And I think when now you got to play two games tomorrow, going to be a very, very busy time for the workforce, the pitcher workforce. So, how do you, when you look at a situation like that, you used to pitch in situations where there's doubleheaders, you don't expect, people are scrambling it a little bit. How tough is that for two teams that at times this year, you know, have had some pitching problems, more so the Reds than the Cardinals?
Yeah, I do think it's harder on pitchers, and I don't think that's just because that's the I'm a card carrying member of the pitchers union, but players can kind of get used to that, and they can, and of course they have different guys that might sit if they need to. And of course they're young enough and strong enough to be able to play a doubleheader without really affecting them too much. But on the pitching side, you just literally can't do it. And if you've got a weak spot in your bullpen going on, and the Cardinals have a couple of places where it's questionable, then you're going to have to be putting somebody in a position that's kind of beyond maybe what you normally use them. But as you mentioned, Bernie, Reds are going to have to do the same thing, and that's been a problem for them.
Yeah, interesting, Ricky. You know, the team has been really good about keeping the starting pitchers healthy, right? They've had a really good plan these last couple of years, the slow ramp up in April, honoring the off days, which gets a little more complicated when you throw in a doubleheader. But they do get to call up a 26th man tomorrow. It seems doubtful that it would be a starter. Hunter Dobbins, I think, pitched like 2 days ago, so I'm not sure that it's going to be that. Maybe it's bullpen help. But it is going to be an interesting challenge now to kind of keep that in there, and maybe Dobbins is a guy they mix in later on to kind of keep everybody on that normal rest they've been trying to keep.
Well, 99.9% of the time it's a pitcher. I mean, because that's the whole point of of needing it in a day like this or in a day like tomorrow is going to be. I think there's some other choices there. I think, you know, Fernandez would be a choice. Yeah. And, I'm not sure what they're going to do. And frankly, I think you still, there's the A guys and the B guys, you know, of any bullpen. That's always been the case. Mm-hmm. I was a B guy for a lot of years. And when the A guys aren't available, the B guys have got to step up. And whoever comes up from AAA is going to be in that category of maybe being out over their skis a little bit. And, you know, the Reds are a good team. I think they've learned to play the Cardinals well. There was an era where they didn't play the Cardinals well, but I feel like, feel like they've been very good against us lately.
Hey, Rick, I'm going to be a homer here. I'll give you my theory. Tell me what you think. The Reds, I was looking this up today. You know me with the numbers. I can't help myself.
Okay.
The Reds bullpen, the Reds bullpen in May has got the MLB worst 7.17 ERA. They've given up 17 home runs, 15 doubles. They've walked 15%, and the slugging percentage against them is .512. My point, where I'm going with this is, this looks like a really good opportunity for the Cardinals offense, which has been scuffling lately, to just get cranked up.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking that, I actually mentioned it on the air yesterday, Bernie, that I don't remember a time, and maybe you guys do, but I can't remember a time this year that four guys have been good. Weatherholt, Herrera, Burleson, Walker. I don't remember a time when all four of them were just going off at the same time.
Yeah.
And wouldn't that be fun? Now, you'd like to get production in the bottom of your lineup. That's been an issue with the Cardinals too. But if you could get, you know, JJ's had some great spurts, but I don't know that that's always on the same timetable that Jordan Walker's had his spurts, or Burleson or Herrera. Yeah, I think this would be great this weekend. Of course, with the numbers, you always have the other side of the numbers conversation where you get the regression to the mean folks that will say that, okay, well, their ERA has been terrible, so they'll probably be great in this series. And, you know, it does happen in baseball. It's just something, but, you know, honestly, that regression to the mean doesn't happen without somebody working hard and making a good adjustment and maybe getting better, because if you don't get better, you're gonna keep giving it up. So you still have to work at it.
Yeah, and they are without their closer, Emilio Pagan. So that's part. I think that's part of where they've had to stretch guys into spots where maybe they don't fit. And that, of course, the guys stepping in on the back end are in more important roles than they would otherwise be. And we've seen a little of that with the Cards, Rick, where, you know, like Matt Svensson's struggles have caused them to seek others, but some others have stepped up. I mean, I've been really impressed with George Soriano. He's been one of those guys and Graceffo, the guy that's now the rally killer.
Yeah, those would be the two guys I would say. He's turned into Seth Maness all of a sudden, where he doesn't throw like Seth Maness did.
I mean, throws harder.
Maness was just flip it. He throws much harder, but somehow he's getting double plays. Now, he also, I got to say, you know, I used an expression on the air the other day that John was laughing at me for using. I said, sometimes you're just up in a tree. I mean, you just don't want to fall out of the tree. And he says, well, what does that mean? I mean, it's like, well, when just everything's working. I mean, you got the horseshoe in your pocket. You got the four leaf clover, and you're up in a tree. And some of his appearances, Graceffo's, were like that early on, where he's given up leanias but getting out of it. But now I think he's kind of filled into that role, and I think he's more comfortable with it. And he has been a good surprise, as has Soriano, whose changeup and slider both have been plus pitches for him. And you know, the other thing about those two guys is they're pounding the strike zone too. I mean, I think what we saw early on with the Cardinals bullpen was not a lot of that, a lot of walks and a lot of deep counts, but these guys are pounding the zone.
Rick, the Cardinals are bringing up Brian Torres, the outfielder who's, you know, almost 29, having a great, great year for the Redbirds. I'm really glad that he's going to get the opportunity, not necessarily because of how he got the opportunity, because nobody wants to see Nathan Church go on the IL. But what have you heard about Torres through the grapevine? What have some Cardinals people told you about him? What do they like about him?
I think the positive thing you like about the guy is he just hits. He can flat out hit. And, you know, I think he said the same thing about Cesar Prieto, although he's not doing that at the big league level. He's been just a 300 guy, you know, throughout his minor league career, Prieto has. But Torres has been better than that. He's been a 330 guy. And there's a difference. I mean, that's a big difference. This is a guy that, you know, kind of like a Luis Arraez type player, where, you know, he just is really good at finding holes, putting the ball in play, and you know, and I think that's the kind of hitter he is. He's not gonna hit 30 home runs. He's not that guy. And I'm not sure that anybody's ranting and raving about his defensive ability. I saw him play a couple of times in spring training, and he was out there. I wouldn't say one way or the other how he looked, but I feel like if there's a liability, it would be that probably for him. Not his bat skills. And you know, we haven't actually even been told. I don't even know that he's here. I've only seen things online, and you know, the old Mike Shannon line is, it's not true until I get a press release that says it's true. And the Cardinals have not sent anything out about Church or Torres. So I'm a little reluctant to even talk about him, because I have not been told anything, and I haven't seen him here at the hotel. That doesn't mean he's not hiding somewhere.
Well, good news, Ricky, because the team tweeted we're good.
Okay.
They did it not that long ago, so you're all good.
Oh, good.
No problem at all.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. I'm not in trouble. The legacy of Mike Shannon is you learn from these great, great broadcasters. You learn principles. And there's some value in that particular thing. And I saw it kind of bite people before when you kind of assume that it's true and it's not. And it's like, whoops. Yep. And so Mike would say, it's not true till somebody hands me a piece of paper. I guess the tweeting is not really a piece of paper, but we'll go with that. It's all good.
Who are you looking at? Because you were talking about it, how, you know, the Cardinals obviously 1 through 4, and I would even put Gorman in there because when he plays third base, which he does a lot, his numbers are really good. But they do need some. They do need a little boost from the so-called bottom half of the lineup. And who have you been watching where you think they're getting really close, that we may see some traction soon from some other guys in their lineup?
I like to be a homer, as you know, and usually when people call me a homer, I usually say thank you, Bernie, because I think that I take that as a compliment, because that's who I care about. That's who I'm working for. But I hate to say it, but there's not anybody right now. I mean, I don't see somebody that looks different in a better way. I mean, you know, Pajes is still struggling. He did have a couple of hits in his last two at bats were much better swings. You know, Fermin seems a little lost with his swing to me, and Mason Wynn seems to be a little bit. I mean, there's not somebody that I say, you know, Victor Scott, that, wow, I'm really thinking that this guy is on the edge here. You know, the one guy that I would have said that about, because, you know, I like him at the bottom of the order somewhere, is Church.
Right.
But now that I've learned that he's not available for a bit, we'll just have to hope that somebody catches fire. But I don't see anything that they're doing that gives me this great amount of hope that it's going to happen quickly. But of course, you know, it doesn't stop me from hoping.
Ricky, you know, we always love having you on DGS. We appreciate it. Dave says hello from the airplane on his way to California.
Yeah.
Have fun in Cincy. Stay dry, and good luck beating up on BT tonight in the indoor golf.
Oh, I'm going to take all this money. It's going to be awesome. Bernie, great to be with you too, my friend.
I love you, Rick. Thanks
all
for thanks for being so kind to me. Thank you.
Yeah, glad to do it. See you, Will.
See you, Ricky. That's Ricky Horton in his normal regular spot here. Well, actually, normally it's on Thursdays, but because there was a game yesterday, that wasn't possible. So we had Ricky in today. All right, Bernie's here. We're going to stay talking Cardinals baseball for another hour and a half. We got a lot of ground to cover. We'll get back to it here on DGS. All right, it's Friday on DGS. Dave and Rach are out, which means Mom and Dad aren't home. So they left it to me and Andrew. But we do have some adult help. Bernie Miklas is help keeping us on track. Bern, good to do this again, man. I love when we get a chance to go a little bit longer. You know, like Rush Hour Sports is great. I'm glad. I love when the three of us get together, you and me and Matt, and just kick things around and talk ball. But it's fun to have a little extra time today.
It is, but I'm a little uncomfortable in this regard. You know, maybe Andrew can help out a little bit. When I come on, which I love coming on with the whole gang at the Dave Glover Show, right? You and I tend to be like really grouchy, and I start bickering with you, sort of like picking arguments with you, right?
It's,
you know,
impossible
what I'm saying?
It's impossible not to, Bernie. We all do it, Bernie. We all do it. It's so hard.
But Andrew, I got to tell you, man, about half the times I get off the air with a DGS hit, when I've been like just kind of like barking at Wheeler, I feel bad. It's like, I'm like, oh man, why do I have to be like that? So
this is what he does. But this is what he does, Bern. We all feel bad because we're normal people. We don't love fighting. So when we fight with him, we all end it. We go, oh, I just feel lousy. I just followed my friend Kevin for like 20 minutes. And then he is over here like, ha, ha,
I'm like,
I got to fight. I got to fight. I got to fight. And it's like, ugh. So tiring.
I do feed on it a little bit. What can I tell you? It's the fighting Irish in me, man.
Hey, dude, I got to tell you, man, I don't know if anybody wants to hear about this, and I'm not going to go into detail and start throwing numbers around, but you and I have had some disagreements about Pedro Pajes.
Yeah.
And I would say right now, I think the momentum was on my side. I think it's on your side now.
It's going to ebb and flow. Yeah, I'm sure it will.
Although I will say this, Ali Marmol is dug in on this, and
yeah.
Ollie is not going to change his position in terms of nope. He's our catcher. He's right. Very important. I'm not making fun of that, but I'm just saying for people to think, okay, now's a good time to bring Crooks up, get him.
Right.
That ain't going to happen because of that. They're so loyal to Pais.
Yeah, not now. It may be something where you're kind of forced into it later. But see, I was talking. Brendan Schaefer was with us last hour, and we didn't get in this specifically with the catchers, but it does apply to the catcher situation and center field. And you know, with Newt coming back, a lot of things could change. But when you're winning games, none of these things are very pressing, right? None of us are screaming. We're talking about them. We see the warning signs. But you're winning games. There's not a lot of pressure to change. If that starts to change and the record starts to go the other way, I'll be curious to see if that adapts.
Can I ask you something? And I'm being really sincere here. I mean, I know how knowledgeable you are about catching because you were a catcher and you teach catching. You're a coach. I totally believe the Cardinals when they talk about the impact he has on the pitching staff. Mm-hmm. But based on your observations, in your opinion, what makes him so valuable in terms of his rapport and his leadership of the pitching staff?
So the things that we can observe, right? What we can't see is how the interactions are in the meetings, right? You know, how much the pitchers believe. We don't see those things. But based on what you can see, he's really good with the pitching sequencing. He's able to figure out, okay, McGreevy's got this working better than this today, and we can adapt on the fly, and we'll do a little less of that and a little more of this. I think he does a really nice job. That's some of the visible. But you know what I love about him? And I think it plays into this because it's what I loved about Molina. It's what I saw in my old teammate from college, Charles Johnson. It's what I saw in Ivan Rodriguez. Any great catcher, he's got the body language. He is presenting himself to the pitcher. I believe in you. I trust me, confidence. And there is definitely a big part of that trust and this guy that's a rock and he's confident about it and he knows he's going to throw the runner out. He knows he's going to make the right pitch call. He knows the adjustment for the hitters as the game goes along, and he reads swings well. It's hard to measure all of that, but it's there. I mean, it's real. The only question, I guess we'll have to do it. Let's do it a little bit after the news, because I think this is a really great topic. The question is, can Crooks do that too? And it's just something we don't know. And there's always that hesitation, that fear about the unknown. And I think that plays into these types of decisions. But I think a lot of it is body language, right? You can see that he knows what he's doing. He's confident in what he's doing. He believes in what he's doing. And if he's conveying that in meetings with pitchers, it's easy to buy into that. It really is, because now your trust, you know, think about all the things we heard about Yachty. You don't have to think. You can just nod your head and say yes. You don't have to think along. He's got you covered. And I think Pedro presents a lot of that. You know, that kind of psychological side that matters so much for pitchers, where they can just execute the pitch and not have to think too much about what pitch they want to throw. So we're going to expand on that. This is a great topic, because I think Crooks is probably the buzziest player amongst Cardinals fans. That's Friday on DGS. I'm getting a little bit of a game plan change throughout the day today. Dave and Rachel are out. We've been doing a big baseball blowout today. Had Brendan Schaefer last hour. Bernie Miklas is here, and we're going to hang together until 4:45. Matt Pauley may pop in a little bit later on, and then we have our normal Redbird Rush Hour Sports Open Line tonight as well. The Cardinals game was supposed to be played tonight, but now it'll be a doubleheader tomorrow. They got rained out in Cincinnati, so we're just going to keep on talking ball here on KMOX. Byrne, let's get back to that conversation about the catching, because I do think, based on my interactions, it seems like with yours as well, with people online, on Twitter, but it's also people just in day-to-day life. I'm at the QT, and somebody's going to ask me, when's Crooks coming up? The catching situation is really interesting, because you've got a tandem that's, you know, working well enough now, right? Herrera gives you some offense when he plays. Defense isn't great, but it's better than it's been. Pajes is still an excellent defender. The offense has just been really bad for most of the year, outside of, you know, a couple of short streaks, like 1 5-game streak where he really produced. And then you got Jimmy Crooks knocking on the door. As you pointed out on Monday, he's cut his strikeout rate down. The power has stayed. His reputation, and I've talked to a few people that know him and that have worked with him, his reputation is that he is the ultimate gamer, the ultimate catcher, the guy that grinds, that, you know, works the meetings, blocks the ball. He can really throw, and he's absolutely knocking on the door. But it also kind of goes into some bigger picture conversations, like what's this going to look like after this year? And I don't know that we're going to have that answer until we see how this year plays out.
It's so complicated, and I've been thinking about this a lot. And listen, I'm definitely a someone who understands and appreciates why Ollie Marmol and the Cardinals want Pedro Pájez doing the majority of the catching. But to your point, with all the great catching talent they have in the system, and you know they have the phenom who's already at Double A. And he won't even turn 20. We're talking about Reynaldo Rodriguez. He won't even be 20 until January. But I saw Kylie McDaniel moved him up to the 15th best prospect in baseball.
Yeah.
And said no, he'll stick at catcher. So you're going to have him. You got Leo Bernal, who's really really good defensively. Jimmy Crooks, and a year ago or last summer when he came up, you know, I remember distinctly talking to Ollie and Ollie talking about how impressed they were the way he handled himself, Jimmy Crooks, and how much the pitchers liked him. And what I'm getting to here, you know, there is going to get a point in time where they're going to have to move on from somebody or move on from a couple guys, and maybe they want to be really careful. I mean, I'm not saying they should do it now, but where does Crooks fit in? What the thing that makes him unique is he's a left-handed batter.
Yep.
And he's a really good left-handed batter. And, you know, most major league, you know, major league hitters see right-handed pitchers about 70% of the time. He crushes right-handed pitching. And we can all say, well, it's Triple A, though. I don't care about that. He crushes right-handed pitching. And I was, you know, and I don't want to get convoluted on you here, because the bottom line is they got some tough decisions ahead.
Yeah.
I just happen to think there's a way to have Crooks up here now helping, because I won't read numbers. Just take my word for it. The Cardinals this year are really getting mediocre numbers from their DH spot, and they're really they're bad numbers against left-handed pitchers. And I should say right-handed pitchers.
Right.
And I don't understand why there can't be a system where you keep Pájez and you keep Herrera doing what they do. Maybe you tweak that a little, but you could have, instead of putting Gorman at DH all the time, you could have Jimmy Crooks a lot of days being your DH against right-handed pitchers. And that doesn't mean necessarily fewer at bats for Herrera. It might mean that Ollie won't move other guys around into that DH spot.
Right.
And Crooks can take care of some of that stuff. I mean, there is a way to get his bat up here in a way that could help the team. That's all I'm saying. There really is. It's not all that complicated to try to do that.
No, I agree. In fact, you know, given their position, I'm sure, is they want him developing by catching more regularly than he would in that scenario, right? Because they're going to leave Herrera catching a couple days a week, which means, let's say if you've got six games in a week, well, is it 2-2-2? Do they like that? Like, I get what they're saying, but with what you're saying is correct in the sense that, well, I know, I mean, I would do what you're saying. Let's be clear. I would want Jimmy Crooks here if I were running the show, because I don't want to necessarily take away, but I have a spot that's not producing much. You know, and he's sharing time at AAA anyway behind the plate, because he's there with Bernal. So they're splitting it anyway. So even if it's a lower share, okay, you're getting to the point as we get to June, right? We're about a third of the way through the season. We will be probably by Monday or Tuesday, be a third of the way through the season. If the major league team needs offense, shouldn't that be a priority over an extra game or two behind the plate for a guy that's a pretty experienced catcher? Because Crooks is very experienced, having caught in college and throughout the minor leagues all the way up to AAA.
And if you're willing to put him in the DH mix, he'll get enough at-bats to justify his presence,
right,
and he'll catch every now and then. But the thing of it is, their bench is so poor. Mm. It really is. Every now and then someone will rise up. Pozo, for example, and Fermin's done some good things. But their bench, generally speaking, is poor. And this is a guy that can bolster your offense coming off the bench or being a starter, either a catcher or DH, when right-handed pitchers on the mound. So I don't see how that would hinder his development, because, as you pointed out, I mean, he's already sharing the position with Leo Bernal.
Right.
You know, and so I don't know. It's such a tangled web. It really is. But I don't think it's as complicated as perhaps the Cardinals want to make it out to be, you know? And then the other thing, if I could, tell me to shut up if you want.
No,
shut up.
Roll.
here's one thing. I'm gonna add a touch of cynicism to this, and I'm gonna repeat to people that I really admire Páez. I'm not being a phony. I really do. I understand what he means to them. However, what I'm intrigued by is that honestly, I heard the same stuff about Andrew Kisner. I heard you know, who did they all want to pitch to when Contreras first came here? You know, this sounds disrespectful, and I don't mean it to, but I'm being a smart aleck. You know, at some point, the Cardinals pitchers, the guys that were here and who are no longer here, the guys who are now, you got to take the binky away from them.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take the binky away. Because every catcher who's come through here is like, oh, gosh, they love throwing to this guy. Oh, gosh, they love throwing to that guy. I mean, there's a little more to it than that. And by the way, I think the Cardinals do have a history with some of their backups just kind of overrating those guys, you know? So I do have a little bit of cynicism in the way I look at this.
I think it's a fair point. I mean, and again, to me, everything is a sliding scale with the catcher position, right? So we know that Páez is a high-end defender, right? This is not really in dispute from anybody, right? He's great at throwing runners out. I would say maybe the weakness he has defensively is he's not really good at blocking. He does not move well.
I agree.
But he calls a great game. He frames really well, and he throws runners out and controls the running game. Those are really big elements to being a quality catcher. But he's also, for his career, 20% below average offensively. And that's now over 200 games at the major league level. If I can get significantly better offense, and it's an if because Jimmy's inexperienced, right? He's not proven major leaguer. But if I could get even league average offense, I can live with a little bit less defense. But what I know is Crooks can throw. He's going to control the running game. He is a top end thrower, and I know he moves well to block the ball. I know he frames pretty well. What we don't know yet is how pitchers would want to look at him compared to Páez. But sometimes you just have to adapt, right? I mean, we all made fun of the pitchers. Because they were, we're not comfortable with Contreras. Hey, make a pitch, man. If you don't like the pitch called, shake your head no and get another one. You know, this has been going on since the dawn of time. It can't be just, well, we got to defer to the pitchers that prefer him. Well, they have never worked extensively with Crooks. They might like him just fine if he gets some run.
That's exactly right. And to me, you can't have it both ways because the Cardinals praised Jimmy Crooks when he was up here. I said, oh, the pitchers really liked him. They were impressed. All right, when's he going to get a shot? And I'm not trying to move anybody out of here, although at some point somebody's got to move. I don't know who it is. I'd hate to think it would be Jimmy Crooks when you have a really strong defensive catcher who's a left-handed bat and a left-handed bat that's got some sting to it. That seems like a guy you might want to hold on to.
Yeah.
I don't know. But – Kevin, you've made this point, and I know Matt Pauley's made this point. I'm going to make the point, too. This season's about young players. This season's about seeing what guys can do, giving them more of an opportunity. I get it. But Jimmy Crooks is a young player. I'm not sure why, the young player opportunities are basically reserved for people who were already here, except for maybe Nathan Church.
Right.
I don't know, man. It just seems weird to me. Then all of a sudden now we're going to build the fence around there. It's like, no. You young players have to be in Memphis. I mean, are the Cardinals so good that they shouldn't be taking a long look at a guy that clearly, now that he's not striking out much, and that was my thing, and I said, no, he shouldn't come up yet. Shouldn't they start to take a look and see exactly what they have and give him a chance to get acclimated in the major leagues? I mean, again, what is the season all about? It's not about, we got to try to win every single game. It's not that. They want to win, but there is a bigger agenda coming into the season. And to me, a guy like Crooks fits the agenda that they laid out on the table, not us. They did.
Absolutely. Right? That's Bernie Miklas. Hey, Kevin Wheeler with you here. We're on DGS. Dave and Rach are out today. We're doing a lot of baseball. In fact, we're doing that all the way up until about 8 o'clock tonight. It won't all be DGS, but it's going to be a lot of baseball between now and 8 o'clock tonight. We'll get back to it coming up next on DGS. A couple minutes left in this hour. Bernie Miklas hanging out until about 4:45. And then 5 o'clock, we've got Redbird Rush Hour. 6 o'clock to 8, you got Sports Open Line. Cardinals game tonight rained out. They will play the doubleheader tomorrow, 12:10 for the first game. And I believe 6:10 for the second game in tomorrow's action. All right, Bert, not a ton of time here, but a simpler side topic we can get into, I think, in that amount of time. Even though it's not a simple thing, it's becoming a big thing. How long can you push the Matt Swanson situation? Because you'll see the glimpses, right? It'll be two or three games in a row. He looks good, and then it's a blow up. And you're still looking at a guy here on May 22nd with a 9.12 ERA, one of the worst walk rates in baseball, one of the worst hard contact rates in baseball. How long do you push that?
I don't think you do. I mean, I commend them for their patience because he's a talented guy, and we all saw what he was capable of doing last season. It was incredible. But it's not the same guy. I'm sure his confidence is wavering. He doesn't have command over his sinker. You know, he's lost a weapon that was incredible for him last year. And I go back to what they did with Ryan Fernandez. Ryan Fernandez was really, really good as a rookie and lost his slider and was getting just blown up early last season. And they're like, listen, we got to give this kid a chance to regroup. And they sent him to Memphis. And he did regroup. Mm-hmm. Well, what's different about this case? It seems to me it's the same type of situation.
Completely agree.
Let him regroup.
Yeah.
You know?
My question, when I'm asking this question about him, it's less about the team because the team has been winning, right? They're doing okay. It's more about the guy. Like, he's not going to get right, you know, getting his brains beaten in two out of every three or four games. It's just not – there's a psychological element to it that you have to get past as well, including the physical side. All right, that's going to wrap up this hour. Bernie's going to hang with us for next hour as well. So we got more baseball coming up after the 4 o'clock news. Matt Pauly will jump in with us in a little bit as well. So obviously going to be busy with Cards Talk until about 8 o'clock tonight on KMOX.